Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast, episode number 175. I'm the host this week, and for once that sentence means something. And Keith?
It means something. Yeah. It means we're back to how things used to be.
Back to reality.
Yeah. We had a nice little interlude last week. Did you listen?
I was going to, and then I never got around to it.
Oh, dear.
I listened to the start.
You listened to one. You couldn't bring yourself to carry on.
And the tears formed and you had to switch off.
I said, yeah, it was emotional. I just sat there going, what's he doing? What's he doing? Why is he talking?
That roundabout thing is my pun.
We don't introduce stuff. Oh, no, we do introduce stuff. I listened to the start and then I was going to load it onto my pocket MP3 player. Called an iPod, but I forgot. And then I went and had a fun old knees up with Peter.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good. Fun. Had a few lemonades.
Oh, yes. A few Cokes, a bit daring.
Yeah.
Later on in the evening.
Ooh.
then we were all feeling a little bit unwell after all carbonated drinks.
Yep.
Remember, kids, when you're drinking fizzy drinks, drink responsibly.
Clean your teeth afterwards.
And clean your teeth afterwards.
I bet you boys didn't clean your teeth, did you?
No, we were reckless. Anyway, I haven't introduced anyone. With me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello there. Who we are.
Peter Willington.
Hello.
And James Gilmore.
Hello there.
I hope everyone enjoyed last week's show, which I certainly did listen to. but it was slightly very good. And
he had notes and everything. He was professional.
Did as well, yeah.
He also talked to himself an awful lot. That's what I liked. He made notes for himself. Those were edited out, I imagine. But it was like, right, Peter, here, there's going to be music, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right, carry on. It was cool.
Yep, it's that's professionalism, guys. That's how a super pro podcast gets done. So you can all suck it, basically.
I've made notes. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Look, I've sent you them. They're in front of you. Look, it's got a line of text and then a link.
That's all you should read out. We shouldn't say anything that else isn't on the screen right now.
Should we do that in the news? In the newsroom? Let's go to the newsroom.
News!
It's a new location. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Newsroom. I'm going to put some background noises here to make
do
you
like office noises and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to do office noises in the background here to make you think that we are in the newsroom.
Maybe the BBC News Countdown in the background.
Hold the phone, Janet. But of course, in light of equal opportunities, I'll have to include. Yeah, no, don't worry about the paperwork, Bill. Shares the same name as
Bill.
Me.
Bill and Janet
there working away at the Pocket Gamer newsroom.
Doesn't Karen work in here?
Karen doesn't work in here.
Doesn't?
No, she got laid off. It's a bit of a
tricky
stealing station.
She does actually listen to this podcast.
Something similar to that, actually, wanting to lay her off or something. I don't know what he was.
Already.
I'm getting some nasty looks here from Janet because of that comment. So let's go on to the first bit of news. Thanks, Janet. Lots of people believe the iPhone 5 will be 4 inches. That's the line I've written on the notes.
I didn't actually realise how small it was till this week. I always assumed it was 3.7 inches for some reason.
We're still talking about the iPhone. Now Bill's giving me nasty looks. it's only 3.5.
I didn't realize that. I thought it was 3.7.
It's quite
diddy. I was surprised as I recently got you shouldn't say this on an iPhone podcast. I recently got a Samsung Galaxy. I don't know exactly, but some of my family types have got iPhones, and it wasn't until I saw them side by side. It's actually quite diddy in comparison to the new ones, isn't it? Especially after the new Galaxy S3, that's pretty massive. HTC One, that's pretty big. iPhone 4, quite small.
Well, the iPhone 5, likely. Yeah. There's been quite a few sources in the last week or so from independent, from lots of areas, like Reuters. Not journalists. Where, what's that one? Wall Street Journal, that's it. All saying 4 inches. Mm-hmm. So, it makes sense. This is one of those rumors where I don't think DigiTimes is even quoted because it's it's too normal for DigiTimes to go for.
It's too boring.
There's no alien shape involved.
It's too likely, yeah.
Something made of asbestos.
Yeah. 4 inches. True, but it's made of asbestos and is shaped like a crown. I'd wear it.
Oh, day one purchase right there.
So we're likely to hear more. Hopefully, we hear more at the WWDC, but I don't think so. It's probably going to be iOS only.
I don't know.
I'm not going to. I don't think so. It's going to be iOS 6.
Sources in my head.
Sources in your head. You're like John. You're turning into John. You've been hanging around with John.
Janet and Bill. they've been telling me. They think it's coming out in a matter of months.
It's going to
be 8 inches.
It's likely to be 4 inches. There you go. Another bit of Apple-y news. Actually,
really on this podcast?
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean the hardware news. Even though this one is actually about software, but let's skip over that for now.
You've lost me now. Yeah.
Siri earlier this week, said that if you asked Siri even what is the best smartphone ever, it would tell you that it was the Lumia 900.
honest to a fault. That's Siri.
Do you know why though? It wasn't because Siri particularly likes the Lumia 900.
No, it's just like it's just a stupid site it linked to, wasn't it?
It's not a stupid site. It's Wolfram Alpha.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Though it's nothing to do with Apple. Apple just haven't bothered to check.
So this sort of broke out, and then Apple a few days later made it so it wasn't the most.
Do you know what? They were right the first time.
Again, this is like we've got a load of anti-Apple people have managed to infiltrate the podcast over a series of years.
Just bringing it down.
They're
from
all coming out now.
The alternative OSs and our shiny blue phones. Although I'm not quite so emotionally involved with mine as I think possibly Keith is with his.
Well, you know, we've got a good thing going on. But it's early days. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Don't want to. You know.
I don't have the 900.
Does it last all night?
It does. It lasts all day as well. Ooh. I don't know what to do with myself.
Does it cook breakfast though?
It probably could actually. The screen gets quite warm. Yeah, but I keep fiddling with it just because it wants something to do.
Has everyone seen the? This is non-Apple news, but the iPhone users will find this funny. Has everyone seen the Galaxy S3's video?
It's pretty much the same video as the teaser that was released when you went to the convention when they announced put up. It's very, very similar, and it creeped me out then and it creeps me out now. It's so, like, I guess from what I gather, it's trying to go for this kind of, like, it's putting it in intimate family moments and whatnot. You have people like staring at each other through glass, and you know, parents and their children falling asleep on the sofa, but the taglines are just terribly stalkerish and creepy. It's just like, it watches you when you sleep.
I love that one because
it's so good. It's like, what?
That one. I love the fact that one appears right at the end of the advert, and then it just goes, the new Galaxy S3. And it's kind of like, what does it do? What does it do while it watches you? Why won't you tell me?
It knows your
every move.
the only thing that watches you like every move is like that's a stalker then, and waits till you're asleep. That's a home invader. Like, there are only a couple of things that do that, and that's not what you want from a phone. A bit creepy, I would say.
It's a bit of an ugly that phone, if you ask me. It's a bit.
Do you think they've tried to do an Apple in a way, in the fact that they're not focusing on features anymore, and they're going for like how you can use the phone, like just snapshots of people using the device and just having fun, you know, just chilled out, having fun.
Are you on The Apprentice or something? You're doing one of their adverts. That sounds very cheesy to me. Now.
Well, I'm talking about real adverts.
Those.
I'm talking about real adverts, Keith.
it's a bit of a disaster, that phone, if you ask me. It looks really naff.
despite the fact that I have an S2 and I'm not like anti them or anything, I only got it recently and I was worried that they were going to release, you know, launch the S3 and I was going to go and really kick myself. But I'm not really kicking myself. It ain't that pretty, is it?
And we're kicking yourself when they stop supporting the S2 in about a week after they release the S3. Even though it's perfectly capable of running most things at the moment. Well, that's the way of the Android.
Anyway, Apple and stuff.
Yeah, back to more iPhone-y stuff. This one's something that Peter will love, but I'm going to annoy him by talking rubbish over the top before I let him speak.
Yep.
So Cave has added an update to their iPhone games and iPad games. Dodonpachi Resurrection and Escaluda. you can turn on a slowdown mode, well, basically frame rate slowdown, and that
makes it easier.
That's to recreate the original arcade experience when it was done via cardboard.
It's a bit like playing Sonic in 50 hertz mode or whatever. This was we used to have it.
Anything like that, no.
It is. People miss that now. We get the fast music and everyone thinks, oh, I preferred it when it was slow. That was just us.
Yeah, but this has actual like gameplay ramifications that is really, really important to the fans. So like the idea is basically, you know, obviously when they were launched into the arcades, because Cave are working on certain technology and arcade technology, just it used to be really, really rapid, but it kind of slowed down towards a point where people were using the same hardware over and over again, and stuff wasn't really optimized that well. So you'd get, you know, obviously you're filling the screen with sprites, and it slows the engine down. So, and the neat benefit of that is that's exactly the time that you would want to have a bit of a breather, have a little bit of slowdown when, you know, when the screen is filled completely with bullets, because it's actually really, really tough to navigate them if you're going, you know, full pelt through these bullet spreads. So it's actually really interesting, and it adds another layer of strategy on top of that, whereby if you're a really keen player, you understand that the game is about to slow down and when the game is about to speed back up again, and it can really affect the way that you sort of thread that needle through the bullets. So this is actually really good news, and it's like it really is showing that Cave super cares about this, about the iPhone platform, because they're putting so much love into it. I'm all for this. This is beautiful.
Sounds terrible to me. I don't like frame slowdown. That's the reason why you turn off all the detail on like Quake 3 and Quake 2, so you can get 100 frames per second.
You're the kind of person who uses that smooth edges when emulating stuff, aren't you? You're that like that person who's like, oh, I
don't,
just wanna...
You know what? I don't emulate stuff because I don't need to look back to the past. I'm always looking forward. I'm a forward thinking man. One step at a time. Why take a step back, Peter?
These are recent games.
I'm taking steps forward every day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Going from retro to, well, not that. That's the reaction. Going from not that retro to state-of-the-art modern espionage. Republic. You have to pronounce that. If I hear someone say Republic for this game's title, I'm gonna go. Excuse me. Anyway, Republic, the Kickstarter game, which wanted $500,000 to be made, managed to pass $500,000.
Hooray!
With not much time to go, I think it was a couple of hours or a few hours.
Yeah. Let's have a video. This one. This was the one that looked a bit like Metal Gear or something. I can't remember. Well, I remember this conversation now. Yeah, you know, this is a dangerous path to go down.
He preferred MGS4, yeah. And that
we don't talk about that anymore.
I might edit it out if he says it again.
He's just embarrassing the podcast if he goes down that route.
Right. Well, he also did work on Halo, which is a pretty good game as well.
Never even heard of Halo. What the hell? Are you
Have you heard of a game called Nova?
Oh, yes, of course.
It's a little bit like Nova.
Nothing's like Nova.
It's a clone, like... What? It's a clone of Nova.
Yeah. Nova's entirely original.
That's crazy. So, yeah, it got funded. So it's going to be heading... Well, you'd hope that it's now going to be heading its way.
They're going to do a runner now.
I know. You're just like, thanks, guys. Cheers.
To the Himalayas.
I did notice, though, that none of the projects that you fund are guaranteed at all. So, like,
well, no.
Take your money and then just piss off, really.
So it all went wrong. But we got a nice new kitchen fitted or something. Yeah. Well, then we saw that for all. I can't remember if we covered it on this podcast where I can't remember the name of the developer now revealed kind of how the funds said. I mean, they didn't raise that much, did they? But how the funds they'd raised.
Oh, that was that, for that cool iOS game, Isometric.
People were a little bit annoyed as to where they thought the money was going and where it actually went to kind of pay for them to go to events and stuff. So. It's interesting. We're kind of democratizing how these games are made. Kind of then makes people who play them more invested in them. But then they're also going to be a bit more arsey if you don't do things how they want. So, on this though, what a lovely logo that is.
Yeah.
That is a lovely logo.
It is a nice logo.
I mean, that probably costs a good few hundred grand.
Yeah. 200 grand for a logo that good.
Well, the little that you've seen of it, a little kind of previous demo thing they've got going on with the girl talking to the phone, it does look like it's been presented with a certain amount of class and style. It has a good look. Obviously, you have no idea what the real thing will look like. But as what you were saying about the people getting a little bit annoyed at the way things are being spent with Kickstarter, it's kind of a pays your money, takes your chance sort of thing, really, isn't it? I mean, you can't. People have been complaining that, like, oh, this isn't, you know, they announce something for, say, the iPad, and then halfway down the line, and then you contribute to it, and halfway down the line, they go, oh, we'll do an Android version as well. And they're like, look, I don't have an Android phone. I didn't give you my money for that. I thought, you know, now 50 pence of my 75p is going to go this way, and I didn't want it to. But that's kind of like the risk you take, isn't it?
I mean, that's why I think eventually people will kind of be a bit more prudent about what they do with their money, because everyone was very terribly excited on this idea that everything was going to be this great new world where everything was brilliant and we all funded every game and everything turned out, and all these games turned out to be amazing. The other thing that will annoy people is when they fund games and they turn out to be absolute stinkers. And then, you know, everyone says, oh, well, you know, as you say, kind of thinking you take your risk, but people will be annoyed, especially if it's someone they're expecting it to be good. Less so perhaps if it's a risk, but if it's something everyone's expecting, then... because they're even more invested in it, then they will think, well, it should be good. I want it to be good. I want it to be how I want it to be. And if it isn't, then there's... I don't think we're heading for a bit of a fallout at some point with all this kind of stuff.
But we already
another
have
fallout. I wouldn't mind that.
Well, even games that people didn't contribute to, we're now getting like the fan outcry. I mean, the kickback after Mass Effect 3, you know, the ending was received poorly and fans kicked off. Now they're reading a new one and no one contributed to that. If people had actually, you know, coughed up £100 each towards the development of it, I imagine that the IO would have been even greater.
It would have been the perfect storm. Okay, well, on that apocalyptic note, let's move on to the new releases.
We're going to leave the newsroom now.
We're going to leave the newsroom.
Bye, Janet.
Bye, Bill.
It's a very small newsroom, just two people.
There's more, but they just don't have names.
They're the drones.
They're the drones. The copy drones.
Is that the best? So we've only got two with names, and the best names you could think of were Janet and Bill. That's...
I didn't think of them. They were named that.
That's their actual name. Yeah, sorry.
They're NPC names.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that.
So yeah, let's go on to new releases. This week on the new releases, we're Masters of Scotland Yard looking for Sonic the Hedgehog, who's been last spotted with a missile in the circus.
So close.
Okay, that was close, but I'll have to leave it because I'm running out of tape.
You're doing this reel to reel?
Yes.
Wow.
So, first up on the new releases is Master of Maya.
Spend the rest of the podcast going, Maya.
It's a free-to-play card battling game where you're fighting other people. You get a starter pack, and then you have to pay for more cards, because that's how it works.
Is that Egyptian or is that South America? I can never tell.
South
is that what it is?
Yeah. I imagine Mayan, with the whole Mayan thing.
And
I hate
that. The image being quite clearly English.
The images as well help.
They all look the same.
Oh, that's a little bit antiquity-ist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit historically racist.
all these stone scratchings.
All these ancient Egyptians coming over.
It was all a long time before I was around, so, you know.
Oh, that makes it better, right? Does it?
My mother gets confused on the maps between what's Africa and what's South America. She never knows. Where's Australia? You say she can't point it out.
To be fair, early European explorers got mulled up between America and Asia.
So. Yeah, but they thought the world was flat, didn't they? So
no, that's not true.
Actually, that's not true.
Just got shut down. Two sides. No, Keith.
They both think the girls are going to be very impressed by their knowledge.
Yeah.
We knew the world was round since ancient Greek times.
You might, but others didn't.
The clever Greeks knew. The other ones were still convinced it was flat.
Poor old English people didn't, you know. They thought if they ran to the edge of John O'Groats, it would tip fall into the sea.
So next up this week is
that's my thoughts on that game.
Yeah. Is Scotland Yard by Ravensburger.
Oh, this is the one with the brilliant advert, isn't it?
Yes,
brilliant
it is.
Trailer.
They make board games.
Yes, they do, and it's a board game.
Oh, that's
old Scotland Yard, and it's got a board game advert, even though it's advertising the iPad version. So it shows two people playing the board game. Like two young adults. And it's got Mr. X staring at them across the table, watching them play on the iPad. And there's the 70s zoom.
Yeah, 70s zoom is funny.
It's very nice on the screen.
More time focused on the screen, less on Mr. X's scary glasses.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. I haven't played this. I think it's kind of a bit of a casual board game.
Oh, is it not a few serious types? I see.
Are there dice? Then I do not play.
are they German? I'm assuming they're German.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Probably.
So they're German making a game about Scotland Yard.
Germans are big in their board games, the board game industry in Germany.
Oh, I know that, yeah. I used to have a Ravensburger game that was something to do with taking bits, you had to invade and you put flags down in parts of Europe and stuff. It was good. Carry on.
So yes, it's over 30 years old. 4 million board games have been sold of it, so I'm sure some of you out there have played it. Multiplayer. It's iPad only, I believe. No, it's IE Universal. What am I saying? And you've got to hunt down Mr. X and catch him by walking around London. It looks all right.
Has anyone actually played like board games in family situations using the iPad? Because I've seen that there are a lot of them around, the Game of Life and Scrabbles and whatnot. Has anyone actually plonked it down in the middle of the table, gathered their loved ones, and been like, right, we're playing Canasta or whatever on iPad? Or
Anytime we ever play board games with families at Christmas usually, and by that stage a lot of people are quite drunk, so I wouldn't want to put, if I had a nice iPad in the middle, would be quite reluctant to do that.
That's a fair point. So no one's ever done this?
No, I mean, most of them tend to be, like, if I'm going to play, like, a board game, like, my family didn't really play board games that much, but if we did, it would be something like Monopoly or something like that, and, like, the thought of doing that, like, on an iPad is, you know, like, I suppose it totally differs from, like, family to family. Like, some are a lot more tech-savvy, a lot more, tuned into this kind of stuff, but I don't know, like, I think it's a little bit... I think the main audience for this is sort of early to late 20-year-old men who we sort of get mates around but don't want to commit to Games Workshop games. Like...
No. Come on. I'd imagine these games work well if you're there on the sofa with your wife or lovely girlfriend or your boyfriend and lovely husband. or whatever, you know. And you're standing there and you pass the iPad across. It's like, your go, love. and then it'll be, oh, thank you, Roger.
Oh, he's on fire with the names today.
Is that a name or a request?
Yeah. And then, you know,
scintillating.
And then you can play, and then some guy in dark glasses comes into the front room and sits opposite them and just stares at them while they're
like
playing it.
Like a Samsung Galaxy S3.
Yeah.
I watch you while you sleep. Yeah.
And they're totally fine with that because they're tech savvy. So Scotland Yard is out now, $2.99. I love the fact we're avoiding saying anything about the games. Anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 2 is also out this week as a universal app for £4.99 of your gold coins, or $6.99 or something like that in dollars.
Something like that.
I haven't heard much about Sonic. I don't know really what it is. I think it's a strategy game. That's what I could see from the video.
No, it's a hidden object game. That's what it is.
Hidden object game, yeah.
Yeah, you have to find the fun.
Very good.
Find the reason why they're still making them. Like,
It's quite depressing, this, really, because when the first one came out, I remember writing up an interview that had been on another site, and they were saying it were kind of, this is a, you know, almost kind of Shenmue kind of way. We've got this, and this planned, and this is just the start and stuff. And it's almost like, I mean, it sold well, so it isn't as if there isn't a demand for it there. And they've taken it to other mobile platforms as well, so they're kind of rolling out. But it's almost as if this one's come along. It's come along late, for starters. And it's come along, and there doesn't seem to be any hype for it. And it's almost as if they can't be arsed now. It's a bit weird, and I mean, haven't they already said that this is the last one? So you kind of think,
well, the last Sonic game,
the last of the in number four. Yeah. I mean, the original plan, I think, was to do several episodes, but I seem to remember reading somewhere a couple of weeks ago that they kind of silently said that episode two was it.
They said they weren't working at the moment on the third one or something, which did sound a bit
strange. I mean, the idea of tapping into the old plot and trying to do things as it was a solid one, I think. And there was a lot, I mean, especially before it actually came out, just the announcement of the first episode, the internet went mad for a few days. I mean, just the video, we didn't even have anything on it. It just had, you know, this kind of echoes of retro Sonic, and people went nuts for it. And it just seems a bit weird that they've got this huge IP that they could perfectly tailor for these devices, and they kind of got halfway there with the first one. I mean, I've not played this one. Maybe it's brilliant, maybe it's rubbish, I don't know, but it just seems there's no buzz.
We've given it a 5.
Yeah, no, that's what worries me.
And everyone else, I mean, like, I sort of saw that this morning, and I was like, oh, we're going to get flamed like crazy for that score, because I bet you. And then then as the day wore on, I was watching the console scores for their versions come in, and they were all like sixes. Yeah, so it's kind of like, not very good level design.
It reminds me of Star Wars now, really. It's the franchise that like, all the, I mean, the old adage was that all the bad Star Wars games were made by LucasArts, and the only good ones were those they farmed out to people who seemed to kind of have the passion for it and understand what Star Wars was. What you could do with it.
X-Wing and TIE Fighter weren't farmed out.
No, I kind of mean in recent kind of, thinking back to when the first battle, what was it, Battlefront, whatever it was called, came out, and everyone kind of suddenly went, oh yeah, this is how you do a Star Wars game. This is it. Whereas, as opposed to the kind of these, you used to get these in the PlayStation 2 era, all these kind of weird third person Star Wars games that were just crap that no one wanted to play. But, and it seems to have gone back a bit like that, actually. Whereas it seems Sonic kind of, it's sad, really, because I think the idea is a good one. Especially, you've got all this kind of enthusiasm for old Sonic, and you had for a while. I think it's kind of died down a bit now, but all these people were making HD versions of old Sonic games, or even kind of new ones using the old tools, and there was a huge community kind of behind it. And this kind of just seems to have, I mean, even this trailer, is watching it, I don't know if you got the volume up, but it's got the naff rock rubbish on it again, and that's not what people want. They wanted it as it was, and it seems a bit weird that Sega FC have no idea what they have on their hands. And it should almost had it someone else.
I get the feeling that actually Sega are a little bit sort of embarrassed about Sonic at the moment, because they haven't really put that much weight behind the second episode. And if you look at their other, you know, their upcoming titles. Sega are kind of like skewing a lot more mature now. And, you know, this is their mascot, but they just can't seem to understand what it is that either what it is that fans want, or genuinely go in a new and interesting direction and create something wonderful, because it's an iconic character, you know, like Sonic used to be as big as a Mario or something like that, and now it's laughable. It's absolutely
I think the big problem was always, without getting really too deep in a podcast about iPhone, but that unlike Mario, which, you know, the guy behind it is still there, Sonic was kind of always farmed out all over the place. I mean, Sonic 2 was made by completely different people to Sonic 1. And so you had a kind of idea where no one really knew. They were both doing different things, and the people behind it have kind of gone, and now they don't really know how to make them anymore, to be honest.
They've been round the houses over the years, haven't they, with all the like the different
versions.
We'll go 3D, and we'll
even at the very beginning, I mean, like Sonic 2 and Sonic 1 are actually very different games, because there was just completely different people working on them. So you kind of, there was never that coherent person behind it that they could say, well, this guy knows exactly what they're doing, so we'll always refer to him. And even if it was, they're all gone now. So
it needs an auteur.
Yeah, it needs someone. They need to, which makes you think they should farm it out to someone else, actually, who actually wants to do it, rather than... Because I generally think, I know my opinion was different to a lot of people, but I generally think the first episode, there was some promising stuff there, and it had hints of what made it good. Watching this trailer, I mean, I will play it at some point. It doesn't fill me with much confidence that this follows that path. It looks a bit more like, hey, let's put some cheesy rock music on it, kind of thing.
That's enough from Sonic. Let's move on to...
We actually spoke about the game there, did you see?
That was boring. Let's talk about stuff that isn't the game for this next one, which is Missile Monkey. 69p, 99 cents. Destroy orange balloons over four worlds and 80 levels, which have been left there by an evil Viking gorilla. And you fly a plane.
Okay.
It's got this huge intro, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
I'm skipping the game.
Actually awkwardly playing it.
That's got frame drop, like in the cave games.
Right, okay. Good.
Let's move past that. Extinction Squad is also out this week from Adult Swim. But who made it? Because they don't make their own, do they? I don't know, maybe so.
Turn shot looks like it's from some kind of 80s cartoon or something. Is that the best screenshot we have?
very pixelated screenshot.
Turner Broadcasting System, apparently, made it.
In Extinction Squad, you have to... I think it's one of those bouncing games where endangered animals land on your trampoline and you've got to bounce them up and make sure they don't die. I'm imagining it's going to be quite funny. I mean, like, Adult Swim games are usually pretty good in that room.
There's quite a good screenshot of them trying to catch a blue whale on the app store. Yeah. That's quite good.
Enough of that. Yeah. We have that screenshot.
Oh, that would have been a good one. Anyway.
Oh, I see what we've done. We've zoomed in on a vertical screenshot, haven't we?
Oh. Also out this week is Boomlings for free, match 4 puzzler, evolving critters again, creatures. It's one of those, it's brightly coloured, it's got blocks with faces, with different facial expressions.
I've seen this before.
Yeah, it looks a lot like another game.
I
like the noises. Well, it looks, actually, I mean, the way it's operating there is like old Robotnik's Me and Bee Machine kind of animation joining up.
Thanks. Oh, you mean Puyo Puyo Pop?
Yeah.
Burn.
I was speaking from the West, you know.
oh, come on.
Bam. Burn back.
Oh, double burn.
Chinese burn.
Chinese. Okay. Yes, there we are.
And lastly, we have, or finally, if you want to. Want that way. We have Circus Atari by Atari, which is also free. And I had a press release about this earlier this week, which said, "Do you love clowns?"
No. She said, "No."
No.
The trailer says, "Yeah, no idea."
It's based off a old classic game, I think. Classic. And you've got to shoot a clown out of a barrel. Unfortunately, not to his inevitable death, but to another barrel, and then sort of.
What's my motivation?
You're firing a clown.
It's very limited, if you ask me. I want a backstory to that somewhere.
Need a bit more. Yeah. I would imagine us firing them into children's bedrooms while they sleep, so they wake up and freak out.
What about the fact that the clown was originally a high-flying lawyer?
Yeah, that sounds good.
In a court case to put a mafia boss behind bars. He successfully did so, but doing so incurred the wrath of his fellow mafia people, and they kidnapped his family and forced him to dress up as a clown and shoot himself out of barrels for the amusement of iPhone gamers.
Instantly more interesting. You're in the wrong job, I think, Will. Yeah. Should be doing plot for clown games.
You could be Ludicrous Synopses Man.
And then we say, here's another one of those games where there's a lawyer who's become a clown. Oh, it must be Will Wilson's behind that. Yeah.
He's really lost it recently.
obsessed with these lawyer turned clown games. Yeah. We'd have to add a new genre to the Pokemon back end.
Anyway, let's move on from fiction to go on to fact in what we've been playing. We're sitting out here in the fields, not raining anymore. Weather has picked up this last few days. And we are going to start with Peter.
Oh. You're going to put a drum roll in there. You've left a gap.
Yeah, I feel like I've... that's good, isn't it? I have been playing Smash Cops.
Smash Cops.
And it's a driving game where you need to be where you're a policeman and you drive around city streets and you smash into bad guys in cars, and then you flip them over and they get damaged and everyone has a lovely time. The reason I've been playing it so much is I think actually it's one of the best driving control methods that I've played on iOS, because what I've been looking for recently is like a really good driving game, and I've kind of tried a few of the Need for Speed games and they're all right, and then there was a few reviews I did where there was digital button controls on the iPhone. I didn't think that really worked, but this one you hold one finger on the screen behind the car. And you turn, if you want to turn right, you swing your finger left. So it's almost like you're replicating the back end of the car. So you get lots and lots of overdrive moments, you know, where you're swinging out the back end and skidding around corners. And it feels really satisfying. It's a two-button game, really. You press somewhere else on the screen to do a little boost and you bash into other cars. So it's got like this... destructive element as well, but I found it really, really refreshing as a driving game on iOS. I simply haven't found one that's done it better than Smash Cop so far. If I was going to say some negative things about it, and I will because that's my job, it's because it's like it does the whole, you know, out of 5-star rating for completing missions. And they're a little bit tough sometimes. They're a little bit too challenging. And it's to kind of encourage you to buy a little power-up called Super Cops. And you get like a faster car, basically. And it just feels a little bit... It feels like it kind of mars the experience a little bit. But otherwise, I would thoroughly recommend it. It is a very good driving game. There you go.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It's the stars ratings. That's the worst thing. You're right.
It's it's just the stars rating just doesn't work because it's like you end each course and you've got like two, and then you need to get an average of three across like four tracks to open up more content. It just feels a little bit sort of miserly. Or you can, you know, pay money to open it all up if you want. But like, it just means that I don't feel like I want to go back to it as much because there's not new content. And the exciting parts of that game are seeing new things and having new challenges thrown at you, because repeating the same thing over and over and over just you know, it's not that exciting.
James, have you been having an exciting time?
Oh, indubitably, yes. I've been, speaking of challenging iOS racing games, driving games, I have been playing Moto Heroes, which is how I will be pronouncing it throughout the course
Moto
of it.
Moto Heroes.
Moto Heroes, which is, there have been a kind of Trials-esque games on iOS, and probably the most notable one being Bike Baron.
Moto Heroes is actually Red Lynx, isn't it?
Exactly. Moto Heroes is the official. It's kind of, if you liked Trials, then you should probably try this one because it's the same dudes. Only this time it's a monster truck instead of a motorbike that's going to be tackling the stunt course, which obviously makes it completely different. It's not at all exactly the same, but it looks a bit different. It's surprisingly good. I say surprisingly good not because I don't like Trials, because Trials is excellent, but the amount of precision required for Trials, as I'm sure everybody is aware who has played it, is quite high. Especially when it gets to the trickier ends, it's very demanding, quite sensitive. You have to be very, very, you know, careful with your control inputs to make sure you don't just completely crash out all the time. So I was a little bit concerned as how it would translate onto touchscreen controls, whether it would really work. And pleasingly, it really does work very well. You've got just the left and right on the left-hand side of the screen, two arrows control your pitch, you know, swing it around. And on the right-hand side, it's just accelerate and reverse. And that's it. And it's very responsive. It feels, I don't know if it feels lighter than the Trials motorbikes, I'm not sure, but the whole thing's been shrunk down a little bit, not just in terms of screen size, but the tracks are a little bit smaller. It feels like it's certainly in the first half of the game, so you can race through it a little bit quicker. But the environments are really nicely done. It has a good sort of cartoon aesthetic look to it, which is very strong, very nice. It goes, rather than Trials, which is kind of a little bit more pure, you're just, you know, racing the bike and going for the best times or number of flips or whatever. In this one, you're collecting coins, which you can later spend on upgrades to your acceleration and your top speed and things like that. And it also throws little devices in. So you have to hit this kind of metal ball at the end of the race. I haven't quite worked out what it is yet, but it's just like a metal ball you hit and that ends the race. And sometimes it's like maybe suspended in a little wooden thing above the track, a little wooden mesh work, which you have to smash down to get or something. And so in order to get there, you get power-ups like springs, for example, which you can use once, use your item, but tap it and your car will leap off the ground, or they've got little acceleration ones, like a booster speed, which you tap that and it rockets off. And there's one which gives you basically straps a jetpack onto the side of your monster truck, which is kind of cool, and I would like to see replicated in real life if at all possible, but unlikely. And it adds like that extra dimension to it. Whether you prefer it or not to Trials depends on how purist you are, I suppose. But I was overall like genuinely very impressed with how well it transition those mechanics worked on the iPad. I haven't actually played Bike Baron, so I couldn't compare and see. I know it did really well on it was reviewed very strongly on the iPad, but no, it works very well. It has the same issues that Trials has, which is that it's very, very hard in places, frustratingly so. And you know, even though it balances out very nicely by that immediate restart, the fact you can always hit immediate restart and carry on without any loading time is you know, a great saving grace. But it does get tough, and it does the same thing you were discussing with Smash Cops, with the star rating system. It's a 3-star rating system, but you need to get, you know, the appropriate number of stars in order to unlock the next section. And once it starts getting tricky, that gets trickier. So yes, it's as awesome and as frustrating, as Trials is kind of an equal measure. But if you do like the Trials bag and you were worried about it, don't be. Have a look at it. Give it a go, because it's fun.
Free
They've done
moment,
it.
Isn't it?
And it's free at the moment. Exactly. You just have to put it free. So it's well worth, if you're into that sort of thing, go for it. It's well worth a look.
Give it a trial. So I'm going to go next, and I'm going to leave Keith for last. So first game I've been playing this week was Penny Time, which is a adver game that's paid for, but wait, it's actually rather good. It's basically an advertisement for penny skateboards, which are probably not costing a penny, but it's done a nice little stylized thing. It's a sort of weird combination of rhythm action Endless Runner with a little bit of surrealism thrown in for good measure, because it follows the story of a boy who finds a penny skateboard, falls off a truck or something like that, and he picks it up, and then a magical animals fly out from it, including a dodo, a pig, and a third one which I can't remember. But and then you travel to the right, matching up to the beats that are shown as circles. So you swipe up for a certain color, swipe down for another color. The closer you are to the center of the circle, the better your score for that circle. And there's music playing in the background, which also, of course, every time you swipe up, you do a different tone on the song. And every time you grab your skateboard for each level, time freezes. So all the obstacles you're going past, the people like, you know, with shopping, like falling out of their arms, and water things spraying across garden lawns and all this. So it looked quite cool. A sort of polygon stylized way. It sounds really good though, because the music's sort of funky chiptune and great in the way that everything builds. So there's three sections to each level. Three sections to each level and three sections to those three sections. The first section is just your simple point scoring. Second section is the same as the first, but you're building it in multiplier. And the third section, you can either swipe back and collect all the points that you've collected so far, or keep on the board and go into the next area with all of your points still vulnerable, because if you mess up, then you'll lose all the points that you haven't banked. And the music gets more intense as you go through each of the areas, and each of the different sections has its own sort of like intensity. So like the multiplayer section goes all funky. And it's good. It's good fun. I liked it. And it is not bad for a game which is essentially a big old advert. But it's good. The other game I've been playing this week is Rage of Bahamut. Rage of Bahamut. Rage of the Hammer. Definitely not the right pronunciation, Peter. is a freemium card game. It's not really a card game, it's just a freemium game. But you do get cards, but you don't ever sort of play them. You just get them, and they have creatures on them. I don't really see the point of them. I played it for about 30 minutes earlier. You basically just do a... It's menu-driven. It's one of those freemium games. I think we're seeing a lot more of these than we are Farmville ones recently. It's basically you get a menu which has like, which obviously is connecting to the internet. It's like in a web browser kind of thing where you have to hit a button for like your treasure, and there's nothing's ever on one screen and nothing's ever very well presented. And then you sort of hit quest, and then you press go, and then monsters appear and you tap the screen and they die and your stamina goes down. And you do this until you unlock a new card. And then you do it again and maybe you'll get treasure. And then your stamina runs out and you've got to wait for a certain amount of time before you can tap the screen mindlessly again. I mean, like the actual battling thing, I mean, it's flashy, I guess. There's also a multiplayer thing, which is is going to be the main core of it, where you use these cards to actually do something. But I haven't really tried it yet, so I'm not sure. I mean, I've only got a couple of cards anyway. You can evolve the cards by putting two of the same type together and doing all this stuff. But really, I mean, the base gameplay is pretty dull. So there you go. If you don't like card games, but you like the idea of having virtual cards with weird like creatures on them, then get Rage of Bahamut.
Wow.
Keith. Also, sorry, no, go on, yeah.
No, if the game is as exciting as the website, then anyone listen, if you want to, go to Rage of Bahamut, rageofbahamut.com. And this must be the only case in history where the Wikipedia page is more exquisitely designed than the actual site. Anyway, sorry.
Wow.
Impressive, huh?
That's brilliant. I haven't seen a site like that since like the mid 90s.
Has it got under construction at the top with two guys like banging into it?
Last though, no, it's just black text on white. It's just a
wow.
Text. Wow.
Yeah. They haven't even put a column in.
It's amazing. And it ends, hope you have as much fun as I have.
Brilliant.
He's having so much fun, he forgot to design the website.
I'm going to go and download this right now. I want to be playing the game that this guy has made.
I don't know. This sounds... It might be a fan's... It might be a fan.
Maybe. This. Maybe they've taken the domain or something. Yeah,
yeah, it could be. Because you put the referral code... Referral... You put the referral code in, and then whoever gave it to you gets bonus, and you get a small bonus. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's probably a fan-made one. Keith.
Hello.
I've been playing a lot of games, because you're a big games fan. That's why
you're a games journalist.
So you must have been playing a lot of games. So what games could you... Just keep it short though. Pick one. Which one of your games?
Always going on about them.
I'm making it for about 3 months here, so just be on for a half an hour. I don't think I've played a game for bloody ages, have I? I assume that's what your point was.
Yeah. So you have played a game.
I've played two today. I sneaked. I told John I was working. I've been playing Score.
Excellent.
First Touch Studios, which they're known for football games, which this is, but not a typical football game. It's not you don't play matches as such. Well, you replicate famous goals. So they're all kind of, they're goals from international competitions. So they're all either qualifying or World Cups or Euros and so forth. And basically what you do is you kind of trace out lines on the screen. So they're all little kind of set pieces. So at the start of each goal, you get a little overhead shot showing you who you've got to pass to, and then what angle you've got to shoot it in at. So you just basically draw a line across the screen to the people who are kind of earmarked as you've got to pass it to him, and then he does a little bit, runs in, and then you say you shoot, you know, which direction you want, as opposed, as history so said. So you're replicating goals that happened. You're not doing anything new, but it's actually a really nice little way of doing it. So as you pass it from player to player, assuming that there's more than one pass, some of them are just free kicks, obviously, and some of them are just wondrous shots where all you do is literally swipe the direction of where it went. Although it's incredibly precise, actually. It's not as if you just go woof and it goes in. You've actually got to replicate how it went in. But if you're passing, it kind of pauses in between each person you pass to, and then you do the next move. And some of them, you've got to pass ahead of them, and you've got to anticipate their run, which is kind of dotted out on the ground. So it's a really simple idea, but actually it works really well. And it's incredibly well presented. So it's kind of presented in almost kind of like a newspaper kind of style, where you get a headline at the bottom once you've scored it, and then a little description of what that game was and what that goal meant. You know, this sent this team through to the final, or this, you know, wasn't enough, they went on to lose and all this. So it's kind of it's a real nice nostalgia trip, and you find yourself actually remembering goals that you didn't know you remembered, just randomly. You know, oh, I remember that game, you know, I remember that game, oh, that was, you know, I'm surprised, because I think if FIFA or UEFA actually saw this, they would sign it up in a heartbeat, because it's just a very clever way of pre like Euros kind of harking back to old tournaments, and you suddenly remember all these moments, and it kind of puts you in a good mood. I wouldn't say in terms of actual gameplay. So, I mean, I'm only so it kind of goes back through the decades. So first you kind of do goals that have been scored in the last couple of years, the 2010s, and then you unlock the noughties, and then you unlock the 90s. And you play them all first in amateur mode, and I assume that once I've got through that, then it'll kind of put me into professional mode, which is where you have to control the actual speed of the shot as well, which I'm not sure how that will work. But they start to get incredibly difficult and incredibly precise. I mean, games like goals like Ronaldinho's kind of accidental goal against David Seaman in the World Cup, you have to, I mean, it's incredibly hard to replicate that because he might not admit it, but it was an accident. So you've got to kind of hit it over his head, and like Dennis Bergkamp's goal against Argentina in 1998. I mean, he takes it down and flips in. You've actually got to do that as it happens. It doesn't actually pause for you on that one. You once he picks it down, you have to whack it in. But it rates in each individual move you make is kind of rated from kind of okay to excellent. So the final score is like a three stars. It's not just on the actual finish itself. It's on how well you replicate the goal, which might kind of actually anger some people in the end, I suppose, because. There's no room for creativity here. You've literally got to follow what happened when it happened. So you can find yourself one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and there could be a huge gap over to the left where it actually seems more logical to place it. But if he actually shot it to the right, that's what you've got to do. Every time you try, if you try and do it how it didn't happen, even if it looks like an easier goal, the keeper will miraculously save it each time, which is slightly annoying, I suspect. Although you kind of sometimes, and I like playing around with stuff like that. I kind of have tried for a long time on certain goals to try and score it in a different way, and it never lets you. Either hits the post or it's saved. So that's perhaps a slight downer. But in terms of an actual little, you know, it's not going to change the world or anything, but as an actual app, before a tournament, it's genius, really. It's incredibly well presented. It's probably the best presented game they've done, actually. It just looks incredibly slick, and you almost expect it to have an official license on it. I mean, it's just, and then the physics of it, actually, the way the players react, everything, the stadium it's in, it's a really nice little game. I'm very impressed with it, actually. So if anyone is kind of thinking or looking forward to the Euros, I'd recommend this, because it harks back to some very good games. But I've also been playing very briefly, and there's not really much to talk about, but the Bejeweled has just come out on iPad in an HD version.
Bejeweled, what's that?
It's a very small little niche game. You match gems together well.
That's new.
And it is Bejeweled, but it does look very nice on the screen, I have to say. But it's Bejeweled, you know, there's nothing new to it, but it is.
Have they added a combat phase?
I don't think. I don't know. They might have added something. I didn't really look.
Phase begin.
It does look incredible. I mean, I'm only playing on an iPad 1, and it does look incredibly crisp on the screen. I can't remember. There's a butterflies mode. Is that new? No, I've seen that before. Yeah. No, it's just Bejeweled. But you know, if you like Bejeweled and you want it to look crisper on your screen, then
can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong, but yes, no, I highly recommend anyone out there score. It's very good.
Score of an exclamation mark.
Score!
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Keith. And thank you as well to the other people who have joined me here on the podcast tonight. Crazy time. Good fun time we had. Peter and James.
You sound like you're a Eurovision presenter now.
Yes.
thank you. And no, thank you the most for listening to us. And we hope you tell all your friends, and also that you have a very nice week. Goodbye. No one's saying goodbye with me.
Tell all your friends.
Tell them how much fun they had.
Lots.
Join every second. Goodbye. Everyone say goodbye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.